Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Ask the experts about free fitting on all our kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
Eamon's been in touch. I was privileged, he says, to have been taught by Colm Tobin's father, fondly known as the Boss, a real gentleman, still fondly remembered by his past pupils. He could explain commerce terminology or tell of history events or geography places so memorably. Well, is that any surprise now, listening to his son for the last little while? And another, Colm Tobin may not have presidential ambitions, but he's a wonderful literary ambassador for Ireland. He certainly is. Now, moving on, the number of children and teenagers using AI chatbots for friendship and help with homework is surging. And according to the same new research from CyberSafe Kids, many children have been exposed to graphic, violent and sexual content on social media and gaming platforms. And Alex Cooney is CEO of CyberSafe Kids and is with me on the line. Alex, thanks for joining us. So this is relatively new, isn't it? Children using chatbots. And what did you find out about how they're using them?
Yeah, this is one of the big shifts that we've seen over the last year. So the numbers reporting engaging with chatbots last year was which was far lower. So that has been a big change. So over a quarter of primary school children and over a third of secondary school children talk about engaging regularly with these chatbots. And the reason for that, I think, is that they are increasingly pervasive. They are embedded in very popular apps that children are using, like Snapchat and WhatsApp. So it's hard to avoid them, honestly, these days. And they obviously have great uses, but there is a concern in relation to children.
And what are you concerned about when it comes to chatbots and children?
I think mainly that they see it as a friend and they see it in a very human way. And in fact, of course, it's designed to be exactly that. The primary purpose is for engagement. So it's very warm and friendly. But really, there's sometimes some quite borderline and actually even dangerous advice given. So you've got the kind of day-to-day concerns around, you know, mis or disinformation that is shared and the hallucinations that are seen in these different environments. But actually, it's sometimes dangerous advice that they're giving and not the right supports. So there was a couple of cases in the US at the moment of children who have taken their own life after engaging with these chatbots. And the families are saying that these chatbots basically encourage them to take that action. And in one case in particular, discourage them from seeking other help.
So the runaway train, I mean, it left the station when, you know, age verification didn't work. And again, you know, we see in this study today, Alex, that age verification is useless. It's just not working. And now we have the double threat of that and AI.
Yeah, I think what it is that we have this technology that is just being designed and rolled out without the checks and balances that it needs, and especially for children. So these things are literally happening overnight. So, you know, they're quite powerful features, and they're not being designed with children's safety in mind. We do have some regulation at the EU level. So, for example, the AI Act, but it doesn't go far enough, and it wasn't written with child protection in mind. So what we need is much clearer child rights, child protection focused legislation that will address this need for proper safeguards. If you think of physical spaces in the offline world, playgrounds and schools and so on, you know, they are designed to stringent design specifications. There are standards, there are accountabilities. You know, they need to be safe and appropriate for children that are using them. We need to apply that same logic and that same rationale to these online spaces. Because again, we're just seeing, just like social media, just like gaming platforms, this stuff is being rolled out without due safeguards.
Now, really interesting. And we have seen over the last year or so where parents and schools have come together and they've signed a commitment saying that no child in this primary school will own a phone or have a phone on them, certainly. That's taking an effect according to these numbers, isn't it?
Yeah, we have seen an interesting drop. So last year we reported that almost half of all primary school children that we surveyed had a smartphone. So children aged between 8 and 12 had their own smartphone. This year that number's dropped down to 39%, which is quite a drop in a space of a year. And we would see that largely down to these community movements that have been springing up around the country to great effect. But interestingly, when you look at children owning a smart device, so broadening it out to the other devices, the number remains steady. It's still 93% of 8 to 12 year olds own their own smart device. So what we're actually seeing is a rise in ownership of other types of smart device, whether it's a tablet, games console, or a VR headset. That is very steady. So I think we need to extend the conversation out to all smart devices that children can can use and access.
But really importantly, those community movements are working, because sometimes you feel when you're signing the form and sending it back in, is this going to make a difference? Well, clearly it is making a difference. It is working in primary schools anyway.
It is working. And interestingly, it's also working in relation to social media. So a lot of these grassroots movements aren't just saying about the smartphone. They're saying maybe we should think about access to apps like Snapchat. You know, are these apps really appropriate for under 13s? They do have a minimum age requirement of 13. So we're seeing quite a drop there as well. And I'm not putting that down yet. Maybe in a year it will be different to, you know, more stringent age verification being put in place on the part of these platforms. I'm putting it down to these community movements and the conversation that are happening amongst parents around, you know, what is safe and appropriate for children. So I think that's a really positive indication of how people coming together can really make a difference.
Yeah, it really is. And I think, you know, for parents who have that sense sometimes of helplessness when you're trying to do the right thing, knowing that something is working and taking effect does give you hope, you know, that you can change the narrative here. But now let's come back to some of the disturbing parts of the research, Alex. I mean, children are telling you in this survey that what they've experienced online has bothered them. And when a child says it has bothered them, we need to worry.
Yeah, absolutely. And that number, actually, it was 28% of primary school age children, which is really concerning. And what we wanted to do with the report is move beyond the, you know, just pure data points and actually highlight some of the things that children are telling us, both through the survey, but also in focus group discussions. And they're sharing stories of, you know, seeing things that they don't want to see. You know, examples of, there was one boy talked about a cat in a blender that he really wished he hadn't seen. Another talked about feeling really nervous when she's on her phone. This is a 13-year-old girl, because it was just too easy to come across rude content that she didn't want to see, you know. So these are real kids behind these stories, and you know, and oftentimes they're being exposed to things. And I'm putting that largely down to what partly it's being shared, stuff being shared in these groups, but it's also the recommender algorithm, which is sending them content that they don't want to see, and you know, trying to get engagement that way. And I think it's really wrong that these companies are allowed to do this, that they're allowed to profile and target children in this way. And you know, there are campaigns to say they shouldn't be on children's you know, shouldn't be on their feeds. It should simply be only based on their explicit interests. And I would really be supportive of that.
Mm-hmm. So these are apps like social media apps, but also YouTube, TikTok, those video sharing apps
YouTube,
as well.
TikTok, Instagram, absolutely. They rely on this recommender algorithm to sort and determine what content that you see across your feed. It's very individualized, very personalized. It's often based on, you know, implicit signals that they're picking up from profiling. And it is, you know, absolutely, a lot of adults don't want it. You know, you can imagine for children, we have countless stories of children telling us that there's stuff that they're seeing that they really wish they hadn't. And I think that's a real problem. So again, it comes back to technology companies and irresponsible practice, and if we need to really not just regulate it but enforce it. And I think that's the problem with some of this regulation. It's not specific enough. It gives too much opt-out to companies, and we really need to change that, especially in relation to children.
Regulate it and enforce it. Alex, thank you very much. Alex Cooney there, who's CEO of Cyber Safe Kids. Now, coming up next, Dr. Fergal McNamara will be here with me in the studio, and he will be answering all of your hemorrhoid related queries, and so many of them have been coming in, but there's still time. 51551 is the text number if you'd like to get in touch.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.